Sippers, welcome to episode 257 of the Tea With Me podcast with me, Shane Todd. I gotta tell you, our Patreon is absolutely popping at the minute. We got our live stream episodes every Friday. We've got a bonus episode on a Monday. Mysteries goes out on Patreon exclusively before it goes anywhere else. There's specials coming out of our bottoms. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? There's Stars in Your Eyes. There's everything.
Mock Blame?
Mock Blame's on there. Everything is there. And it stays there. And it's only for sippers that are on Patreon. Patreon.com/TeamMePodcast.
If people aren't sure if they want to sign up, you can follow the Patreon now for free. So you can just see a little bit of what we do.
If you like to walk down the Patreon red light district and peer into the glass, you can do that. But if you want to come in and get some flesh, you pay for that. £3 a month and that's nothing. Starts off £3 a month. You become an executive producer for £10 a month. And you can put that in your CV and stuff.
£6 a month.
£6 a month? God. That's nearly half of what I said. Close. You can put that on your CV for jobs. Yeah. I'm an executive producer of the Tea With Me podcast. That's nuts. If you want to come see me live, ShaneTalkComedy.com, SSC Arena, 9th of November for now. And I've got shows in Copenhagen, Amsterdam and Stockholm.
Oslo?
Oslo, maybe. Not Stockholm. Copenhagen, Oslo and Amsterdam. It's not selling well. We are sponsored by none other than Manscaped. And someone pulled me up on that recently and said, man, every time you say you're sponsored by Manscaped, you say none other than, but you never say it for the other sponsor.
That's a lie. You've said none other than NordVPN.
All right, okay, because it's in my head rent free. We are sponsored by none other than Manscaped. These guys have been with us since near the very start. And that's what your pubic region will do if you're a Manscaped user. It'll stay consistent, you know. Since Manscaped have been in my life, things are great down there. Things are really, really good because I keep up to date with my Manscaped grooming routine. They've got products for everything. And you don't have to be, you know, 19 like me to be using this stuff. You could start your Manscaped journey at the age of 82. One of our guests today told us off air, he's just started becoming a Manscaped user, Alan Irwin.
And he looks 82?
Yeah, but not his pubes.
No.
70. Weird. Manscaped have it all. It'll change your life. It'll change the way people look at you. Change the way your partner looks at you or prospective partners.
Perfect time of year. Spring cleaning for your...
Penis and balls. Go to manscaped.com, use the code TWITHME for 20% off and free shipping. The link's in the description. Without further ado, why don't we get into this episode? This is, if you hate silly stuff, don't watch. It is three giddy guys just having a lot of fun. We talk about, amongst other things, John Russia. I know you've been waiting for that episode to drop for a while. Where is he from? Let's find out. What else were we talking about?
The pyramids.
Yep, we finally figured that mystery out. Not mystery, that's a different podcast, but we talked about, and I believe in aliens now. What are you doing over there? You can enjoy this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with my guests, top stand-up comedians, Alan Irwin making his Tea With Me main episode debut, but he's been on a few lives and Alan is just great and I'm glad he's doing a lot more stand-up now. He's fantastic and returning favourite Dave Elliott. Please enjoy episode 257 of the Tea With Me podcast, none other than the Tea With Me podcast. What, you walk a dog at like 5:30 or something?
Yes.
In the morning?
It's only time I can clear my
What are
head.
You, a sex tourist? What are you doing?
No, you know what? What is it they
is that
say?
Where they go dogging at 5:30 in the morning?
What is it they say? The early bird gets the sausage, and that's me.
Jesus Christ, are you operating on Melbourne time? What's going on?
No, you know, like, I'm inspired by people like Tom Smith.
The only people who do that will find a dead body. It's inevitable.
And yeah, there's so much risk. If you're walking at 5:30, you'll be the first guy to find things from the night before.
Think about the admin of that.
Yeah.
If you find a dead body, it's not like you go, oh, it's me. Oh, there's a body here and you just head into the house.
But then use Johnny's.
I would just say, You know what I find?
Hold on, Al. You did that like someone's mentioned like a lovely fillet of beef or something. You're like, oh, you John, oh, don't tempt me.
I'm imagining it's mine, but that's not, you that's not realistic.
Alan, you find them and take them like a shot.
Yeah, like a froob.
Actually, I like them on fire before. I fucking love frubes, you know. That is like, that is the most shameful thing about me, is that I only enjoy my petit filou in tube form.
Dude, you remember that time at Nando's? Someone pointed out the way you were eating mashed potato was so wholesome, and then we all just stared at you eating mashed potato.
No, I don't want to eat mashed potato.
You just like in a real like provocative way, without no, like low key provocative.
Exactly. Like, oh, it's because I flatten it out on top of the fork and then take it off with my tongue.
Yeah, and takes his trousers and pants off.
I'm naked from the waist down, you know.
But yeah, you just else or just mash for like that.
But actually, at Nando's, I get double mash. I love the mash.
That's yeah. What I'm gonna call you from now on, double mash.
Big DM Irwin.
I think it would fuck me up so bad finding a dead body. Yeah, you know, I think there's some people could see it and then just go about their day.
You know what I would do? I would sometimes be out so early in the morning, I would catch the murder happening. I'd be like, it's all nothing. Just
yeah, yeah.
Because you're doing something worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like the cop who's like, I don't want this paperwork.
Yeah.
You know? Because I wear a dry robe now and I'm totally against that. That's why I go out so early. People can't see me wearing a dry robe.
Do you go out in a dry robe first thing in the morning?
It's a football coat. But it's a
like Wenger?
It's a football coat.
No.
Catherine's told you that to make you feel better. No, it's a football coat.
It's a fucking dressing gown.
It says the Gunners on it, and it says the Arsenal logo, but
that's like the time my mum wanted me to wear this jumper I got for my birthday from Nex when I was about 6 or 7, and I hated it because it looked shit, and she told me Liam Gallagher designed it, and years later I found out he didn't.
Yeah.
I thought I was so cool.
You were 28 and you went, that was...
Do you remember the first time you got into fashion? Like, I remember, I got it really into, like, have you ever heard a guy, I think he's called Rosha, John Rosha?
Yeah.
He's a Native American guy.
What?
he was in
Rosha, John Rosha.
I think he was, was it Debenhams or M&S? Yeah, he had a wee deal with.
But he's a Native American dude, and like on every piece of his clothing, you got a wee picture of him just sitting like this. And I was going around school being like, it's a new piece
this
from
is so niche.
RJR.
I had a Rosha, John Rosha t-shirt.
He's a Native American guy, but his face is on the...
No, just, you got a picture of him or something?
Yeah, because like a portrait.
Like a wee card?
Yeah. It's like, but it was attached to the garments, like to say this dude designed it.
He was a Native American James Bond, yeah. Rosha, John Rosha.
But I was going around talking about like he was flipping... I know.
Yeah, no one just like, said John Rosha.
No, Rosha, John.
You would be as a child.
Like he was like Calvin Klein or somebody, even no other.
But you wouldn't say Klein, Calvin Klein. Why were we giving him such
boss? Your boss, yeah, it doesn't really work.
Rosha, John Rosha,
like a vintage boxing announcer. You know,
can we find out, is Rosha, John Rosha still going?
Can I just say John Rosha is a Chinese Irish designer born
in Hong Kong.
Why is he culturally appropriate in the Native Americans?
Hold on, what John Wayne film has fucking Rosha, John Rosha? Sitting Bull and Rosha, John Rosha.
Everyone must think the Rosha, John Rosha is Native American because you said it and I said it.
Yeah, no. I mean, you can be any less Native American than being Chinese Irish. Is Rosha Chinese? And
I think is it fair to say that any, and this is maybe controversial, any guy who isn't fully black or white that has long black hair, in our heads, you're Native American.
Yeah, I think so.
Rosha, John Rosha. Also, it's the least Native American name ever. Why do we think that's Native American?
That's unbelievable. What do we call,
like Fat Hawk or something?
Fat Hawk. That's why I call him a dick.
Hawk, Fat Hawk. What would your Native American name be?
My Native American.
Sitting Man.
Sitting Man.
Yeah.
I don't know, Fat Bison or something.
Yeah. Sleepy Boy Sleepy. I just love him. Sleep.
Can you present us with a photo of Rosha, John Rosha? And
he's got a strong...
Oh, yeah, because I wish I didn't know now, because I bet you I would have fallen.
Yeah, imagine you haven't seen him.
This right. is definite, I think, Mandela effect, because to me, I would have said, I bet my wife and kids and house that he's Native American.
Yeah, this is like a Mandela effect.
The full name for that's Nelson Mandela effect. I fucked that. but yeah, I remember as a kid being excited about a Rosha, John Rosha garment.
I literally have never heard that name.
It's so weird. I don't think I've ever gone anywhere and gone like this before of any other garment until I was wearing Rosha John. And then... I thought I was.
Like, that's why you've never had like a male fashion shoot. What is that thing week? That, like, if people get like promo shots done, they have to be like fixing their cuffs?
Oh, that's
you're
a good
like,
one.
You're wearing a t-shirt. Oh yeah, yeah, God, he is really Native American looking.
Maybe it's like with you know the way you mix certain colors and it gives you a different color. Mm-hmm. Maybe when you mix Chinese and Irish, you get Native American.
We should do that more often. He's a beautiful looking man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is he still alive?
Yeah,
let's find out. Is he still on?
Can we get him on the pod?
On the
pod? Oh, he would come on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe, I mean, what accent?
To be disrespected.
What accent's he working with?
He'd come on, tea with me, tea with.
Like, I think if you're a Chinese Irish fashion designer, Russia John Russia is not the name I would expect, like Tiernan Jong or something, you know?
Tiernan Jong?
Yeah.
Wang, Padraig Wang or something. Padraig Wang's a tremendous name. Oh, Sheen Dong.
You could go the other way though. You could have you could have a Chinese first name and an R, you know, so yeah, like Zhu O'Halloran.
Yeah,
yeah. You know. Wang O'Shaughnessy. I
fucking Mao McGee, you know. Like, although basically the only Chinese names I know are Communist Party leaders.
Yeah, so right. I love the question that led us into this was you. It went so undetected. You going, guys, what age did you first get into fashion? When did you get into fashion?
I was big into fashion for a while. I think maybe what happened
as a child
was people were like, he's not like he's in duns.
Okay, you know? That's a flex. Yeah. We're talking when you got into fashion, the way you unzipped that and presented that plain grey t-shirt.
Primark t-shirt. Yeah.
But like, yeah, because that was the first time I'd gone from just wearing like a blue t-shirt into like, my mum must have gone to me, that's Russia John. I'm like, Russia John Russia. I'm wearing it in the school.
But, like, see, my mum, one time she bought me a navy tracksuit that had orange piping. And like, you can't wear that when you're ginger. Like, that is literally a magnet for bullies. Like, and she was like, I was 11, so we had the school disco and you had to bring your own clothes. Of course, my mum packed my bag and then I opened it up and it was the fucking orange trim.
But hold on, how are you going to school disco with your clothes in a bag? Why aren't you dressed?
Because it was in the afternoon of school. Right. So it was like in the morning you had to... I went to a very posh secondary school. Yeah, I was,
I remember I used to... Like, the only thing I wore as a kid was tracksuit bottoms and a football top up until I was about 15. And I remember... for like a birthday or something, having like 50 quid to go to Top Man when it was on Royal Avenue and buying my first ever adult pair of like jeans and a t-shirt. And I bought a pair of jeans and a yellow t-shirt with red trim and it said Joe Palm's Beach Club and it had like a palm tree logo type thing on it. And I remember thinking, this is unreal. And I wore it every day for about a week. And I remember, I don't know why it's coming to my head, I went to a jiu-jitsu class in Queen's Hall in Hollywood and got my head kicked in that outfit. Like, everyone was wearing shorts
and
t-shirts.
Because you were wearing Joe Pan's beach.
Well, I don't know. I think it was a magnet for people being like, why is he, you know, why is he dressed like this?
I had a phase like in my early 20s where I used to wear shirts all the time.
I remember when I first met you, you started doing stand-up.
And I used to think the bigger the gig, the more fancy you had to dress. Like, I did the Empire last week and... I've managed to dig out my first Empire set, which is so shameful and awful. But I obviously went, oh, it's a big gig, so I better wear a shirt and trousers. Mm-hmm. And it's just awful. It's an awful look. And like, I already look older than what I am. I shouldn't dress like my dad.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a terrible...
But I think you go through that phase of wanting to be older, then you realise you are old, and you're like, oh, fuck this, let's just wear what's comfortable.
Here, by the way, my guest today are Dave Elliott and Alan Irwin.
Hello.
Alan
Irwin.
Elliott, Dave Elliott, and Irwin, Alan Irwin. I was looking through TikTok today, and I saw a lot of comment activity on our video, the clip from the last time we podded for, I think it was a live episode, where we were talking about missing our dead grannies and we were laughing at the fact that we missed our dead grannies. The amount of shit under that, mainly directed at me, of people being like, adult men being like, that is not funny. Like, people don't like, you know, I'm not laughing at anyone's dead grannies, but yours, and my own.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, some people have a real sensitivity about their granny where they're like, she made me biscuits and all.
Yeah.
And you're like, but it is funny to poke fun that she's
It's
dead.
Funny because we know each other to laugh at our grief.
I was cut.
Oh, no, I miss my granny.
He's talked to me every time I've seen him since then about how much he hates you now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was so hurt about that, but couldn't cry because... a reputation uphold.
And your granny would see you from hell. And
But you know what? That's the thing about it, though, isn't it? Like, I feel like I don't want to get into tribal politics because I'm bisexual, but I feel like it's a very orange thing to fight for the rights of your dead granny. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, this conspiracy, like, you're sort of saying Protestant people, men are more.
There's two things that they won't have. A sea border and people slagging off their grannies.
They're dead grannies.
I think there's something to this. I think Protestants love their grannies, Catholics love their mammies.
Yeah.
Like, because the most West Belfast thing you can do is living two doors down from your ma. That's like, everybody loves being near their parents. Yes.
Not next door.
No. Around the corner.
Yeah.
And they're like,
hey,
bloody man.
Case in point, Aaron Butler.
Yes. Does he live just down the roof of his ma?
Round the corner.
There you go. So that's a good enough sample size for me, a bigot.
But there are so many people like.
But you know what? It's my granny.
Yeah,
and she was a bit of a dick.
My granny, my grief.
Yeah. Hashtag.
I liked my grannies, you know, but like,
yeah.
I didn't go. I don't love them anymore because Shane asked me.
Yeah, I love my granny so much, and my granny that we were talking about that had died. It's funny that my friends would laugh. It's funny the amount of grief I have for that.
You know,
like, that's funny.
But it makes me think of Richard Herring. He used to tell a story. He had a housemate, and Richard Herring had come home from his granddad dying, and his mate was in the kitchen with him. He just put his hand on his shoulder and went, "I'm delighted your granddad's dead." And they totally broke the tension. And then about 3 months later, that guy's dad died. And when he came home, Richard was like in the kitchen, nearly holding it in. He went, "Oh, fuck off!" And started. Yeah. Like, he knew it was coming, you know. But it's like, it just breaks the tension.
Yeah.
Like, I remember at my mom's funeral, my mate from school was sitting beside his then girlfriend, her sister. So they were both Catholics, and they started doing the Lord's Prayer. And obviously, the prods have the wee extra bit. Uh-huh. And I made eye contact with him, and he kept going during the Lord's Prayer, like, "Here, what do you say?" They're going to be confused. And I started laughing, like, in the pew at my mom's funeral. Like,
yeah.
But that's what you want. That's the gallows humour is the best.
Yeah. But comedians are weird.
How
we're weird.
Would that be for other people at your mom's funeral if you're at the front just looking back laughing?
A giggly wee guy in a weird suit.
He was 100% right, because then they went, "But deliver us from evil." And those two went, "What the fuck's going on?"
But you know, I just don't think people should be annoyed for, like, like, why are you so angry? Oh, don't you be doing that?
Oh. Yeah.
It's weird. I would say that, but I'm quite grumpy. So.
Yeah.
I, this week, have started believing in aliens. What do you think of that? Alan doesn't like that at all.
Sorry, I'm actually about to nudge the coaster back on with my foot and just give it a boot. Sorry.
I would like to know what was the trigger point to make you go, there's aliens out there? What was the moment?
I've been against that idea forever.
Big Trump supporter.
What do you mean?
He's like, illegal aliens, send them back over the border.
Oh, right. No, I only started supporting him like 3 years ago. But I've always completely dismissed it. And I think anyone who thinks aliens are real, I have found weird. And now I've gone completely the opposite way. And if you don't believe in aliens, I think you're mad.
Well, I think, right, the universe is infinite, essentially. So it would be weird if there was no kind of life. It doesn't necessarily mean, like, aliens.
We green guys.
Something alive. But also,
take me to your leader.
Who was that?
That's how they've worked out that if they talked, That's how they worked that out, did they?
Yeah. Who worked that out?
NASA.
Oh, right, good lad. Yeah. But I also think
NASA.
The universe has existed for so long that the likelihood of us being around at the same time as aliens is highly unlikely.
Right.
Because humans haven't been around that long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there might have been aliens 500,000 years ago, but they're all dead.
Well, I've, like our grannies,
do you know, grannies sometimes look a wee bit like an alien.
Yes, yeah. And that's how my grannies
talk like them. They're like,
"You haven't
Hello,
seen
love,
them
come on in." I sit here. Joe and I used to kill me when I worked at Marcy's. We used to open at 8 o'clock on a Saturday, and all the wee women would be waiting at like 10 to 8 to get in,
right.
And then they'd go, and then I go home, and nobody comes near me, like, because you're fucking back in the house at 9:30. Space your day out. What are you doing? Yeah.
Just sitting looking out the window board.
Where's the Keisha's love?
Having their lunch at 10 past 10. You know, that kind of vibe.
They're out discovering bodies and then going to Marxies.
What a day. So it's because I've got really into the pyramids at the moment. Big into it. And I
love Toblerone, like, same thing, you know.
People have started saying humans couldn't build it.
What do you mean people? You keep saying things like people. Is it Willie T? Like, who's saying it? It's definitely Connor Keyes, isn't it?
Experts are saying that we would struggle to build that now.
Right.
So how did they build that? And some of these rocks that they were using were coming from 500 miles away, and people are going,
Pardon? It's called hard work. Graft.
You have to remember, they didn't have the 40-hour week.
Graft is the marathon training you're doing. Uh-huh. But also, there's this idea that all these slaves were so strong, but they wouldn't have been on like a premium. They're, like, they weren't getting meal plans. Like, they weren't getting meal prep.
Right.
They're probably eating gruel. So how are they going to be stronger?
But it's kind of the thing of, you know, it's amazing what you can build if you just don't give a shit if they all die doing it.
But there's this, you're the hardest team just leader in Marks and Spencer. But there's this belief that that there was like a great flood and there was this civilization before us that were capable of building the pyramids and doing all that kind of stuff with this technology that we don't even have now. And we're the, like, we're the new guys.
And people are saying that.
But hold on.
Yeah. People.
Why are these guys coming down going, bzz, bzz, hello, I want to build two pyramids. Bye-bye. And disappear. Why is it just the pyramids?
But the flood wiped them out.
Hold on, mate. So they're so advanced, but they can't fucking put a floodplain in. Like, they can't. They're so advanced.
Water's coming up to their necks.
It will be fine. Let's actually think about it. They're so advanced. They live in fucking Egypt. They've never heard of a sandbag. Like, come on. What are you talking about?
It wasn't sand then.
But this pyramid
was
made out of
an oasis.
Fucking magic beans. What are we doing?
I know it was an oasis then. That land.
You know what will blow your mind? Do you know glass is made from sand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
no. But tell me this. How the fuck do mirrors work?
But people figured that out. So there's a guy
figured it out though. But tell me how mirrors work.
How's a guy gone?
I don't need it. See, mate, I don't know how
what's
to
a mirror
do a fucking,
made of.
I don't know how to do brain surgery, but I know it's possible.
Yeah, but what's a mirror made of?
But my point is right.
Glass.
But
glass and light reflecting.
But glass, like in the window. How do you go from that to a mirror?
But glass is so old. There must have been those dudes just sitting around the desert, being like, "Wonder if I could make that see through." And another guy's gone, "I'm sure we could figure it out." So I'm pretty sure a couple of dudes would be like, here, we could put a few blocks on top of each other.
Yeah, they had the wheel.
You know what I mean? But it faces true north. There's all these, like, they're not just stuck up. They perfectly, like, follow certain lines. There's geometrical dimensions.
I think it's like the way I feel about, like, you know, like, mediums and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how they do the things. I'm trying to squeeze into one.
Derek Acore.
But it's like medium.
Who's also dead, like your granny?
Oh, I think you're gonna bum me, Alan.
What have you seen?
Granny, my granny.
Have you ever seen the thing of him where he's like,
your granny looked like Derek Acore.
Dick, have you seen that Derek Acore video where he's just, and someone comes over and he's like, Dick. I feel dick like that. Can you get that clip up? That's so funny. Oh, so great.
But, like, you know, I don't know how they do what they do, but it doesn't make me believe that they're actually talking to dead people.
Right, well, let's take it back to Mars.
Egyptians, I don't know how they did it, but that doesn't make me think that there's something magical
about it. Egyptians were very, like, fancy and all, weren't they?
But also, Egypt is like Cleopatra is closer to now than she was to the early Egyptian Empire. Yeah. So, no. What? She was around at the time of the Romans.
Yeah.
But Egypt was 4,000 years long.
The fact with her is that she was alive closer to the invention of the iPhone than she was to the building of the pyramids.
That's exactly what it is, yeah. Because their empire lasted for thousands of years.
But how were they able to build that long?
Have you seen The Mummy, the film?
Yeah.
Imhotep turned himself into like a giant ghost sandstorm, so they could do all that shit. They could build a pyramid.
Diggle Modulini was around when they built them.
I
believe in aliens now.
Well, I mean, that's fine.
But I didn't. But it's crazy that this is the week that I went.
Of free speech is that you're entitled to be wrong. That's not, you know, there's not.
But
why does there have to be?
But this is like, it's like being agnostic, isn't it? when believing in God or not. I don't know enough about stuff, so I wouldn't say like I'm an atheist because I don't know.
No, I'm an agnostic. You
know? Yeah, and I'd be like, fair enough. And the same with like if people.
Does that mean you don't believe in God?
That means that you just can't decide it. So I lean towards it probably isn't, but there's no way for me to know that.
Yeah.
An atheist says, I know for a fact there's no God.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm.
You're an agnostic. Because there's no. In the same way, the whole idea in religion about faith is that because you can't know.
Yeah.
So anybody says, I know there's no God.
Yeah,
as talking at their arse, because how could you possibly know?
Yeah,
because you don't.
What if God came to you and went, "I'm not real"?
Then you go, "But
that's
you
would know." That's like a double bluff.
But then you've just told me that you being there to tell me that means you are real, God. You're having banter with me.
But he goes like this.
Yeah. Oh, I need to call you up when you made a biblical mistake last night.
As in, I made a mistake to do with the Bible, or I made a mistake so bad it was biblical.
You made a mistake last night.
Because we did a gig in Macrofell together. Yeah. So are you saying I did something so bad that Macrofell's now been wiped out?
The core of the whole world. No, you got some biblical facts wrong in your set. You were going around telling anyone Jesus was a carpenter.
No, his dad was a carpenter. Jesus. The Bible doesn't say Jesus.
There was a carpenter in the front row, a young fella. I said, who's your favourite carpenter of all time? He said, I don't know. I said, I think you'll find it's Jesus. So I was wrong about that.
Yeah, it's Joseph, man.
Well, as somebody who's dropped out of a theology degree, so Jesus is a son of a
You said that like that's your catchphrase.
Yeah, I said, yeah, that's my next show title. Someone who dropped out of a theology degree, live.
Alan Irwin.
It's so hard to do. I fucked it so many times.
Yours is great. Todd Shane Todd works really well. Todd can also be a first name. So can Elliot.
And it sounds like.
So can Irwin.
Yeah.
Suppose Elliot can be a first name. You can be called Dick Cheese. It doesn't matter.
It'd be so unfortunate.
Dick Cheese Dick or Cheese Dick Cheese?
No, you'd be. Wait, hold on. You'd be Dick Cheese Dick. You'd be Dick Cheese Dick. Dick Cheese? But like, so Jesus is the son of a carpenter. So most people had their father's occupation.
Right.
But the Bible doesn't say Jesus was a carpenter.
What did you drop?
I dropped my water, but I caught it with my feet.
Right.
We're very fucking clumsy today. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. So, by the way, you're such a dick because everybody was able to just go with it last time. But and they probably knew and they probably went, that's fine. But I now I'm looking back on a thing, I can picture your smug face at the back. Actually wrong.
I think you'll find it was Joseph the Father.
Asterisk beside
By the way, I've never enjoyed anything more than when I saw... the guy who was the underwater man. Please don't.
So there was a guy, I was talking to a few, I do this really original thing with stand-up where I will ask people what their occupation is and then I'll talk about that.
That's fucking clever.
I know. I started it. And,
might try that.
And I said, I was talking to a few guys in front row and one of their dads was with him and I went, what do you do, mate? And he said, I'm a diver.
That guy's not their dad, is he? He's the same age as him.
No. Way older.
He's a diver.
And I went, what? Like, for what? And he goes, that's whatever. And I went,
whatever.
I said, you gotta be specific if that's your job, or do you just go down every day and see what happens? And he said, what was the last job you did? He said, I did an underwater inspection under the Stena line. And I don't know why.
That's what you'd find down there. Fucking hell. Well, dead people in Rangers tops.
Well, I asked him. I said, that's the name of your new show. Well, I said,
that's what I call the pub my dad drinks in.
I said, how crazy to be doing an underwater inspection? I said, do you still have the wee notepad and pen? And this will not be funny secondhand, but Dave, you will admit, last night it was hilarious when I pictured him underwater, like, doing underwater inspection. And we just got really silly with it. And that gig last night was 10 out of 10.
It was tremendous.
That was Terrace Hotel in Macrofell. It was just, you know when an audience just will just let you be silly?
There's nothing better than the stuff that happens, especially during crowd work, where it's like, this can't be recreated. I can't make material out of this. This is not a funny story, but it's so ridiculous.
The idea that this is only for us tonight in this room.
It's kind of like, I remember seeing a clip of you one time getting the guy in the front row to do duck noises.
That's right.
And I was like, I love that. Like, because you know in the room, that's so ridiculous.
And then I was like, you don't have to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did you do this?
Yeah.
Just because I'm telling you to do it.
But that guy you couldn't, like, that's the best job ever.
He was gutted last night because there was two breaks and he had to go on last.
But you know what?
Two breaks is tough.
You had a good time?
Two breaks at my gig the night, actually.
Because I had a bit of fun with him too. I was talking to the guys in the front row, just doing a wee bit that I had to talk to Joyner about. And I was like, which one's, you're the diver, the man that looks like an octopus because he had these dreadlocks sticking over his head. And it was funny. He
had too many dreadlocks for a man in Northern Ireland, which is one dreadlock. One is too many.
No, but then look at Duke Special. He had all the dreadlocks.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
No.
Does he not?
I heard that he cut them off. So. He gave them to people and they attached them individually. So he, his hair is like...
What, like a wee girl in Alicante for the weekend? Like just like a wee, yeah. Wee braid?
Yeah, but no, it grows into your... Like when a dreadlock can
grow. Oh, I don't like that. Do you know what I really don't like? You know when somebody has dreads and they put like a fucking Coke can ring pull on it?
Yeah, you know what I don't like? I don't like when people
that's like a crusty thing.
I don't like when people who are not African or African American or of African descent have dreadlocks. It's cultural appropriation. I don't like it.
Right. I don't like it because
says the man who daubed like, Russia John Russia Native American with more confidence than I've like, ever
there's
seen.
There's nothing more sickening to me than a boy from fucking Dungannon with dreadlocks. It's just yeah. Wrong.
But you know what? I challenge Russia John Russia to tell me to my face that he's not Native American. Come on the podcast and you tell me.
So he's Chinese know? Irish.
Yeah, yeah.
So does that mean like he grew up in, you know, I don't know, Fintan or something? What does it mean? Like where did he grow up? That's my question. Because I'm wondering, can he only speak Chinese? Because if he does, that's going to be a very,
very
difficult
GB
podcast.
News.
What do you mean? No.
Where did he grow up? What do you mean he's Chinese? How does it? Well, I assume one parent's Chinese,
no,
one parent's
that's
Irish.
What I know that, but what I mean is, did his man and dad meet in, I don't know, Beijing, or did they meet in Dublin? That's what I'm asking.
Well, there's infinite
they
possibilities.
They made the reservation, I think.
On a fucking hell. On a reservation.
Yeah, because he's Native American.
Don't know about it.
Imagine this turns into a whole thing and then there's a Netflix documentary where Russia John Russia just sits
that's
down
what
and
happened.
Goes,
an Irishman and a Chinese woman were backpacking in America on the reservation.
As people do.
Yeah, and they just got together.
And what you think them what like she said, oh no, yeah, you're definitely the dad, but it was actually somebody from the reservation, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that because there's a lot of like magic in the reservation and like
what, that he became a different race? What
correct.
I was into that history for a good while.
What?
Native Americans and the formation of America and stuff.
Do you like so if you could
Dave,
go back,
tell us more about the magic on the reservation.
The magic, yeah, because like you know like,
yeah, we really let that blow right
yeah,
by
yeah,
there,
because
we?
If like you know if you you know right. you will know this.
I'll know.
Shit will go down. If you build a wee house on top of an Indian graveyard.
Well, every estate in Northern Ireland was built in an Indian graveyard, if you listen to anyone. Yeah. White City out the road, everyone, all my cousins used to say, you know, this was at a sleepover, we'll go, you know, this is built in an Indian graveyard.
After the Irish-Indian Wars, what?
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's how Russia John Russia was born.
Now, you
oh,
know,
where's the Chinese coming to then?
Look, they're just a bite. They're kicking around. They're dishing out grub.
Do you know... Do you know about like why Native American people got and still get called Indians?
Because
he thought he was in India.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Columbus. He thought he was in the West. He was trying to sail.
I thought I really had that up a sleeve.
He thought he really thought he had landed in the East Indies, but he was in the Caribbean or something.
Columbus is so like you, isn't he? Arriving in America and being like, "We're in India."
Well, I feel like you know he. I hope he didn't arrive and go. Chinese Irish people.
Yeah, see, like the idea of like being an explorer, I have such a short attention span. See, when they go, they set off on a 7 mile journey. Fuck that.
7 miles.
Hold on.
No, they 7 years. 7 years. I don't even know.
That's where you go from here to Bangor. I'm fuck that. I know you like to be in bed early, but fuck me.
What an attention
Lisburn,
span.
I live in Lisburn now, so we'll get a gigs in Belfast. Oh, fuck that. What, I'm a Columbus? What if I get scurvy on the way?
As a comedian, we've got to pick up an open mic. Comedian. Scurvy.
Here, speaking of scurvy, I did a gig the other week and I'll
finish that later.
Sorry, you carry
no,
on.
No, please, have nothing.
No.
Scurvy O'Neill, go ahead.
I did a gig last week and a guy was very offended by one of my bits.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't really get that. Like, I don't really do jokes that anybody.
You said it was the N word.
Yeah. That was the punchline, actually. It was awkward. Weirdly, everybody else but him loved it. But it was because I was talking about the Ulster American Folk Park in Omagh.
Yes.
And he thought that I was making fun of the coffin ships. Which is such a weird...
Had he just come from a journey
on? I did feel a wee bit like going, even if I was making a joke about that, it was 180 years ago.
Yeah.
You didn't know anybody on it, you know.
Yeah.
But, and then a woman...
I turned my granny
somewhere.
Dead.
To be fair, some grannies fucking hang on, don't they? But,
because they have long nails.
Yeah. But you know what the folk part is like? You're in the wee village, and then you get on a boat, and then you're in America, like colonial America. Well, there was a girl in the audience who was like, I went there on a school trip, but it was too busy, so I had to do it backwards. You're like, that's a fucking grim life. You start in New York City and finish in Dungannon. Like, that is not...
Holy... So, it wasn't the Ulster American Folk Park. I was somewhere once and they had set up. It was like, where was this? We were at a wedding near Harvey's Point in Donegal. Day after the wedding.
Is it the Famine Village?
That
where it's like there's loads of murals of Martin McGuinness for no apparent reason.
But is that the place where like you drive around and it's like someone from an American horror movie and they have like dolls?
That's just Downing's.
All right, please. I'm trying to think of it. It's like,
no, it is. You're right. There's dolls over, and then you go into a house, and there's like a bookcase. It's like stuff hidden behind hidden doors in the walls.
That's
stuff.
Worse than the Scottish Willy Wonka experience.
Oh, it was. It
this
was,
is the original one,
but it's really weird because it's like it's supposed to teach you about the history of the famine, uh-huh. And then there'll be like Martin McGuinness and then Liam Neeson on the wall. You're like, yeah. Were they there? What's going on?
Is there anything funnier than that Scottish Willy Wonka experience?
Oh, incredible! Like,
do you know what this?
Yeah, but it's classic. Man, it's classic.
There's something. When you're looking at kids being terrified by the Scottish Willy Wonka experience, there's something so great in that it wasn't your kids there.
Yeah,
you can appreciate it because you're.
See,
like,
I don't have kids, so I don't even have that worry. I'm just like, yeah, fucking frighten them. Go on.
Have you heard some of the actors talking about how they got the roles and that kind of thing? Oh, they were like, it was an AI script and all.
It was the
like,
old woman as the Oompa Loompa was so funny. She just looked like she was on gear. Like, it was a lot of fun.
I just love that kind of like. Depression chic, where you're like, this is what a sad person's dreams are like. You
but
know?
It's like, and we love the Grinch, those horror things about the Belfast Grinch guy.
Oh, but you see, the Grinch, you know that Grinch that goes in and just fucks your house up?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, incredible. Like, and the kids screaming and one,
he's really fucking
the
house up. Yeah.
There was one I saw at Christmas and it made me laugh a lot. It was just, it was in a community centre and they were doing some sort of giveaway and then a Grinch comes in, picks up a Christmas tree.
He fucks the Christmas tree across the hall.
But it's just some fella having a pint, minding his own business, gets whacked with a leg of the tree.
It nearly hits a child.
And
all,
you can
yeah.
be like, oh, and but that's all the Grinch did. He just came in, fucked the tree and left. And they're like, oh.
I want the Grinch at the end when he's like, oh, this is nice. And he just has has his dinner with you. Why is he just having your dinner? He's just a Grinch.
Yeah.
Alan, are you a TikTok guy?
I have it. Well, I have it for the podcasts and I would occasionally scroll, but I don't use it a huge amount.
I was going to say, what's on both your like For You pages at the moment? What do you get shown a lot of?
Do you know what I get a lot of? There's this, it's such a shit thing. There's this computer game, I don't even know what it is, right? Where you can, like, it's a car driving game, but it's, like, known for, like, being really realistic physics. And they literally just go, here's, like, 20 cars trying to clear this jump. And then just watch them all die. It's very satisfying. It's only a computer game. I'm not actually watching people die in car accidents. But I don't know what that said about me. It's all got fucked since. See, it used to be, like, my wife would have sent me loads of TikToks and I'd watch those and that helped my algorithm. But obviously that's not happening anymore. So it's like, I'm like, is this what I actually like? Is this all like this? And like old clips of Curb Your Enthusiasm, are they the only things I like?
I get like freestyle, like Ronaldinho highlight clips.
Like, I get a lot of Ally McCoy's telling stories.
Yep, I'll get like local people doing something mad.
Right.
You know,
what do you mean, like what?
Here's the thing. I like anyone just going for something. When I see someone just going for something despite what the world's saying, I like that. But when that happens locally here, it becomes its own world and it becomes such a thing that you can't take your eye off and it's a perfect storm of like voyeurism as a viewer because you can't take your eyes off it and you feel like you shouldn't be watching it. You know, you're like,
is this like Pedo Hunter's NI? Is that what we're
talking about? No, that's classic though. That was By the way, here's my impression of everyone who gets caught. When they go, here's the impression of everyone who, by the way, surely if they confront you with all these things, you go, nah, mate, not me? No, what the fuck? Here's my impression of everyone getting caught. They go, listen, with all these text conversations, your email address, was it you? Here's everyone. Don't think so. Hey, that's not a strong defence. No.
But have you seen that the pedo hunters now are having banter with the wee walkie-talkies?
No.
No, it's going about now.
I didn't know they were still going.
Yeah, so what they do, they have like walkie-talkies and they go like, right, this is a nonce detector. And they'll put the thing and go blow into that. And the guy will blow in it. And there'll be someone else. And the walkie-talkie go, nonce. And he's like, and the guys are looking, going, what the fuck? And he's like, hold on, let me try it again. And he does it again, and then it'll do
see,
it again.
See, that had to have been invented by civilizations way before us. That's what I'm saying.
So you think the aliens invented pedo hunters and I?
I think they invented nonce detectors.
Right, okay, yeah.
Absolutely.
You don't need a detector, you know the look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I had an argument with my mum about something.
Are you looking at my socks and going, definitely not? I'm like attracting children with bright colours, yeah.
But I had an argument with my mum about somebody looking like a Nancy the other day. She was like,
was it her?
No, she goes,
your mum does look a bit like a
Nancy. Mum, you look very Nancy.
She goes, I don't like this guy. And I said, why? He looks like a paedophile. And I was like, what do you mean by that? And she goes, oh, he just does. And then I was like, looked at him, I was like, I don't think that's a stereotype.
You weren't getting that vibe?
Look of a paedophile? No, I thought he looked more like a maverick.
Right.
You know?
You could be both.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's quite maverick to be a paedophile. You know what I mean? You really don't give a fuck about the rules. You know what I mean? I'm taking your badge, your gun, and your internet connection. You know what I mean?
But yeah, it
was a badge would be such a giveaway, though.
Imagine if Dirty Harry was called Dirty Harry because he was a pedo.
Dirty Bastard Harry.
Dirty Bastard Harry, Dirty Bastard.
I know what you're thinking in this chat room. Is she five or
is he five quote. Or is
I don't
he
know
six?
The quote. Yeah, I don't know the quote well.
Do I feel lucky?
I went into that with so much confidence, realised I didn't know the quote.
Our kids getting
what
on the chat rooms?
What do you mean?
Is that weird?
Well, like, I was on chat rooms. I was like 14.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I thought you were like five. I was like, fuck, what's that going on?
A Habbo hotel or whatever. You
know what? This is just an observation. A lot of the guys who get caught aren't what you would call cute guys.
Like, now, there's no hotties getting caught. Yeah.
You know, you never see a guy. Like, there are always a guy swung around with overcoats that are slightly
yeah, there's
too
no
big,
guy. There's no guy you're like, if he wasn't doing this, he'd be outside yeah. Abercrombie and Fitch getting people in.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I feel like they mostly look like me if I had no self-respect. You know, that kind of like, yeah. like if I had a hum off me, you know, that kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And know. Like, you've just been to buy a barn brack. And then you got to fuck a child. That's the look.
Yeah,
that they have.
You look like you enjoy a fruit loaf. You know yeah, what I mean? That's yeah. that kind of vibe. You know?
There was a time where you could enjoy a fruit loaf.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like mid 90s.
When my granny was alive, she always had it in.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Maybe that's what got her.
The fruit loaf? I would say so. That's what she called me. There he is.
A wee fruit loaf.
Everyone's busy with gigs at the minute. I love this. We were talking about the fact that we had a gig. We had a gig last night. I've got a gig tonight. Butler's got two gigs tonight. Some Willie T has two gigs tonight. And these are all separate gigs.
Yeah, there's a lot on at the moment.
What's going on?
Do you know what's happening now, though? I feel like it's actually dropped off a wee bit in Belfast, but it's all the provincial towns.
Agreed.
And like everywhere has a gig now. I knew it used to be like everything was in Belfast. You did a couple in Derry, and then there was Daly's and Oma. Everywhere has a gig.
Every village and town did 3 months. First month, they threw everything. The bar would throw everything at it with promo. Put money behind it, get a great lineup. Second month, they would not do any of that because they would go, well, this sells out every month, so we don't need to do that. And it would be a shit show. Mm-hmm. And they'd give it a go for the third month and do a cross between those two, somewhere in between, and then that would be it.
But that's it. People that know patience where it's like, as you'll know from like every gig that has lasted, the first year's always up and down.
Oh, yeah.
Always. You know, you usually have a couple of busy ones at the start and then it dies a death and it picks up.
Laverys was up and down.
Oh, Laverys. I was at Laverys many a time where there was like less than 10 people
yeah,
at. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But that's just, you par through.
But it just
know?
Kept going and going and going. And that's like, that's what happened. And it's difficult if you run the bar to stick with something like that.
Well, that's always why comedy was always midweek, because they were like, it's not a risk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they didn't want to give up a Friday or Saturday night when they could fill the room. So that, you know, I mean, if you're talking like 2011, 2012, a lot of sociopaths get up to talk about dicks. And, you know, still do that, but it's just more glamorous.
2024 now.
Yeah.
You're gigging a lot at the minute, which is good.
Yeah, I've been trying to get the finger out. I feel like, I this is weird to say, like, I'm newly single and I think I have so much free time. So you already knew that.
And I'm just trying to sell you out there, you know.
So anyway, hit me up if you like sad men. So with tiny cocks. So no, I just have a number for somebody. it's Dave's number. Yes.
What age you on?
34. So
back on the scene at 34.
Yeah, but also looking 44, which is the complication, you know.
Oh, you're looking. I thought you meant you're looking for 44
year olds. No, I just look 44.
And hopefully that means women that are 44, and not you're looking for 44.
Well, if I get if you notice that me eating a fruit loaf, you'll know. But
and are you gonna you know, I imagine if people come back on the market, they go, I'm going to reinvent myself slightly and thinking about getting a leather jacket, something like that. Are you looking at anything?
Some Russia John Russia gear.
Yeah, imagine you were head to toe in Russia John Russia. You'd be fighting off with a stick.
I don't even know what Russia John Russia gear looks like.
So very Native American.
Yeah, very Native American.
A lot of feathers.
A lot of polytropes. A lot of like wolves howling at the moon and stuff.
Yeah, I could pull off a wolf pelt. Just drop the pelt. So how do
you wanking off Wolfman from Gladiator?
He still wouldn't be happy.
Do you know what? I know, but I don't think I'd give a good hand job. That's my number one reason for not going gay. Is like, I have a tiny mouth. I would be the worst blow job you'll ever have in your life.
Well, if it's anyway like you eat mash, I would concur. Little tiny mouth.
But hold on, you said it was sexy the way I ate mash.
No, I think it was there was something about it.
Right, so there'd be something about me.
A
my blowjob.
Tiny mouth is like a butthole with a tongue. Surely it's better.
You've always said that.
Does your butthole have that. Teeth?
Well, there's only one way to find out.
Are you going to use apps?
I hope you don't
mind me asking.
No, I don't. I mean, if I was, certainly not anytime soon, but also, I don't know. Anybody I know who's on the apps is fucking grim. Like, it's just, it's grim. The women that I know that are on the apps, it's grim. And I can't imagine it's probably worse for the men, because at least women used to have that thing of, oh, I'm getting too much attention. While they're like, you go, you know that thing? I remember whenever I had it years ago, and somebody said to me, oh, you just, is it swipe right for yes? I don't know. Whatever it is. You swipe for yes, you were interested. Just do that to everybody, because then you get all your matches, and then you go, oh, this is a fucking grim shortlist. Like, this is not, you know what I mean? I don't want to be like Willie or something who's like just always looking at it. I can't be bothered with that.
Willie has the, I will stick up for him here and say, Willie has this reputation as like Northern Ireland's number one Tinder guy. And he's on it every day. And he's always just like, bleh. Willie T does not really use the apps, but this is something that's really caught on.
Well,
and I find it fun.
So do you remember he put up a screenshot that was like, they offered him the thing that's like £500 a month, like Tinder. He put it up, there's like some mental Tinder tier, like subscription, where it's £500 a month. And basically you'll be at the top of everybody's list kind of thing. And then I read an article about that, because I was like, that's fucking mental, like £6,000 a year for Tinder. Mm-hmm. And they only offered it to the top 1% of users.
Maybe
he's taken a screenshot off somebody else's account. I don't want to say that.
Yeah.
But if he has, he's in the top 1% of Tinder users.
Yeah.
I really should have told him that before I told you.
Yeah, for sure. But we'll keep
sorry, Willie, if you're listening.
We'll keep it to ourselves.
I know, nobody listens to this. You're not doing very well.
But do you know what I think you should do? Can I offer some advice?
Go ahead, yeah, why not?
If you are thinking about a reinvention, if you're like, I want to just get it going, something that Dave and I, for not
I don't take any part of this.
For not dating reasons. Dave, I think it's fair to say, we're talking about fashion. You and I went through something around the same time where we discovered, and you can tell, I think, be testament to it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when you discover, and I used to work there, but I think it's been different last few years. When you discover men's clothing in Marks and Spencer's.
Oh, here, yeah. You're preaching to the choir here.
You don't look back. You don't look back. It's a done deal. Like, that's just what you wear.
Do you know what they do a nice thing of? A nice shacket.
Oh.
Love a wee shacket
you're
from
talking
M&S.
To, yeah. That's the Shacket boys. Yeah.
That's more Red Dead Redemption 2 when you're in the snow level.
But I have an actual shacket that I wore on the television. Which you can
I saw it was nice. Yeah, I have a nice shacket, you know. But we got on to this because, so I have a lot more free time. So I'm gigging a lot more.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's fine, isn't it? I don't know how people do this all the time. Like, to be fair, I suppose I work full time as well. But like, you see gigging like 5 or 6 nights a week.
Yeah.
And also working. And my job's not even that demanding.
That's what you put in, you get out.
So I'm putting very little into my work. Yeah. To be fair, my performance review would say the same thing.
Right.
I'll do
your performance review.
You can do my job, you know. Easy.
Like, I'd love to come in and just you walk into the room.
The
like
problem
that is
I mainly work from home, so you just have to come and sit in the spare room of my dad's house. That's not really a great life. Like,
oh god.
I would love that.
It's temporary, but like you're not a top shagger in your dad's spare room. Like,
or you become the top shot.
Unless you pay somebody on OnlyFans to call you that. That's the only time. Yeah.
But is that what's the saying? It's like, if you can't do something, you become the something. And it's like, you become the beast.
So what, I'm going to become a big dick? What do you mean?
Yeah, like, well, I mean, do you? I think I've heard or seen that you're you're packing some heat.
I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm packing heat, but I don't have a tiny dick, which is the vibe I get.
But you know what? I think a lot of people do like not trust the ability of positive thinking. You know, if you want to think you've got a big piece, but I guarantee
you. See, if I started doing positive thinking, I would be so unfunny. My only comedy chops are that everything fucks me up.
Well, what, like, you're living a sitcom, so like moving back into your dad's at the age of 34 during a breakup, like that's a sitcom.
Do you know what's actually really, speaking of top shaggers, my dad's never there because he stays with his girlfriend 7 nights a week. So like literally I have a free house because my dad is out with women.
Right.
And yeah. I'm just in the house on my own. Like,
yeah.
You know.
It would be better though if he was like multiple women. That'd be funny, wouldn't it?
It wouldn't be that funny, especially if he was bringing them home. Jesus Christ. But
do you have any daughters? On the top of the stairs.
Our sons, it's been 6 months.
I've got caught up in like that. The conspiracy things coming at me on TikTok.
What are some of the conspiracies? You were telling me about a conspiracy last night about Puff Daddy.
Yeah.
And like he's apparently getting up to some mischief.
Did he kill Tupac? Is that not what it is or something like
that? Well, we're talking about, by the way, Diddy.
Diddy, sorry.
And I think
I don't know that. Yeah.
Diddy.
Yes,
Diddy, it looks like it.
Yeah.
Not the Tupac thing. It's more that, you know, he's getting caught up in a lot of allegations at the minute. And we're talking about grooming, and I don't mean he's a barber.
Oh. You know the practice of...
What you said is he enjoys a fruit loaf?
Someone might refer to him as that when they hear these allegations.
Do you know, the funny thing is, you know, there's it seems to be so many of these things in, like, you know, American celebrity culture and all that kind of thing. And everyone knows about it, but, like, a bit like the Savile thing, but no one's going to, like, blow the whistle about it because they're all too scared about their own positions. And then 50 Cent comes out and it's just like, oh, I don't give a fuck about anything. So he kind of... I think started everyone talking.
He's
about
like the Hannibal Buress Cosby thing, you know, the first one to like.
But we love him because the man has no filter and he doesn't care, and he seems
50 Cent. I thought you meant you love Diddy because he's a groomer. Listen, he's got to admire.
He's one of our favorites.
Yeah.
But
do you ever see like whenever allegations come out about people, you're like, oh, I can see that. Like Savile, you're like, he does have the look.
You feel like we were being trolled with clues.
Yeah,
you know?
He does have the look.
Yeah. He's got the look.
But like when Puff Daddy or P Diddy or Diddy,
just
Diddy. Well.
They're the same guy. Sorry, I'm so white. I always forget that.
But his group was called the Bad Boy Family. Yeah. So, like, he's recruiting all these bad
boys. That's like we call your gang when you're seven.
Yeah, we can't be stopped now. We're bad boys for life.
Yeah, so once you're bad, you're bad.
And he used to, like, on all the back of the Biggie songs, he would just whisper, like, take that.
Yeah.
Take that.
Because that was his favourite boy band.
But who's your favourite boy band?
Probably my favourite boy band. Ooh, yeah. That's a tough one.
The first one comes to mind for me because they were big when I was around about the right age. But Westlife, I think Westlife probably have about 15 banging songs.
I agree. I think I was more Boyzone.
You know what? You're
a couple of years older than me, aren't you? So it's just, I think that's all the difference.
Do you know what is? If you ask me for my ultimate boy band song, "Love Me for a Reason" by Boyzone.
Mine would be "I Want It That Way."
Yeah,
which is, I'm not Backstreet a really big Backstreet, but Westlife as well, because my wife was she's not dead from Sligo,
unlike her granny.
Yay.
Oh yeah,
Westlife. Wait till Dave's walk tomorrow morning.
Westlife.
Oh no.
fucking hell. Cut.
Well, who knows? I don't.
But like Westlife are like Beatles in Sligo because three of them are from Sligo, you know what I mean?
Right, so
it's like
right.
Everybody knows them personally.
Yeah. You know? Or has that link.
There's always like she went to school with a girl who was cousins with Mark, you know, all that.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, do you remember everyone used to get off of Will I Am because he went to Thompson's one night? That was going around for a while.
Did he?
Or like, no, Will I Am.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that here's where I like Boyzone, I like Westlife, but this is where I think the problems come. They don't have enough like pop bangers. They're all a lot too ballady.
No,
but I think you think Westlife, like when you're looking like that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but I used to think that was.
She's
Bendy
a 5'10" catsuit and Bambi eyes.
Bambi eyes.
Thought it was Bendy. I was like, you know.
As this a, big giant with googly eyes.
But I always thought what the point of that song was saying, like, it doesn't matter how they look, it's their personality, you know? Because they would stare but wouldn't believe that this girl, because he was hot. And
she's 7'3".
Looks like Andre the Giant.
With a turn
of her eyes. B-O-N game leg.
Scoliosis in his spine.
Westlife do have bangers, but I agree. I think they went too ballady toward the end for a long time.
But let's go to the BSB, the Backstreet Boys. Yep. They can do a ballad. They can do a pop classic.
Everybody.
Can I tell you my favourite, a little bit off-piste, my favourite Backstreet Boys song, The Call.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant nice. Song.
But then I like a bit of NSYNC too. They get you going.
NSYNC, no.
NSYNC
for
were
me.
Great.
We had a funny moment in like
by the way, can I just say my favourite NSYNC song, This I Promise You?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I think
do you do a lot of crying back in the day? Like, you did a lot of sitting in your room.
And I will take you in my arms. I told you this. I think NSYNC on that album, which was like Bye Bye Bye, all the mm-hmm. like that classic album with their puppets on the front. If you didn't know what a puppet was, I demonstrate for
that's
you.
That's more a marionette, but alright.
I was Shane from Westlife's girlfriend.
They had this song on the album, and I think they'd ran out of bangers, right. So there was this one, and I only remember the first two lyrics of it, and it used to go like this: Millennium, here it comes, and everyone's talking about Jerusalem. Don't remember any more of the lyrics, but I don't
they
know
actually
why.
Meant the hymn Jerusalem that yeah.
But I do remember times in life where you're like, that's really funny.
Yeah.
But we were in our student house, and it was, we lived with three other fellas, we were all good mates, and one night we were having pints, and one of my mates like, oh fuck, we heard that new NSYNC song, Stick That On, and we were like, what's the, it was gone, and we put it on, and like, we're all drinking, and he was like cracking tune. That was like hardly appropriate for a,
I don't remember that.
It was gone.
Girl, yeah. You gone.
So like,
but hold on, you delivered that exactly like Dirty Pop.
Yeah.
Dirty Pop. You went, yeah. Girl, you gone. Baby girl, you're gone. Right, that's no. Totally
yeah,
different.
But that's
girl, you gone.
But he was like, put that on, and it's like the beat's like,
oh yeah, that is a weird yeah. Pre-drinking yeah. Like,
there's so many words that I could say. Boom boom. To make you come home. Was this guy you?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
There was this weirdo we used to live with.
We're all sitting there with their beers, like, yeah. And he goes, oh, picks up, and didn't. It yeah, just yeah, the yeah. Chorus, but yeah, it is a classic, and it's all black and white, and they're all crying, looking out the windows, and all.
Yeah.
But I Will Never Stop. That's a good NSYNC song.
I think it's what Diddy said.
But you know, but the back to the Diddy story, whenever, like, the. What I love about it is nowadays, instead of going, they redact the name of yeah. People involved. They're like, there's some people who may or may not. And I think they're saying, have had sex with Diddy, right? And they're like, it's a Philadelphia rapper. And then they just basically say, it rhymes
with. Sex with a rapper from Philadelphia?
It rhymes with Six Hill. And they're like, oh, that gives away. Yeah. And this other guy may or may not have just performed at the halftime show.
This guy just, we can't say who this is, but he just did the halftime show at the Super Bowl. Yeah. So that narrows it down.
But that's like with the Vince McMahon stuff. They were like, they didn't name Brock Lesnar, but they went, somebody who was signed to WWE was a former UFC heavyweight champion. You're like, yeah, it's literally just him. There is no one else.
Yeah. But I mean, it's nuts because you. So the allegations are that, like, so many people, so many of these R&B stars were groomed, and then if they got pushed in the industry.
Right.
So you just start to, like, there's such a odd feeling about it as someone who grew up on all that music. You're going,
oh, yeah, they're all diddlers?
Quite literally, that's what he called the people.
I think they were diddled. I think they were diddled.
Oh, they were diddled.
He was the diddly D. And I think it's so crazy just to, because like, you're just enjoying it. Like, it's all like fun, and then you're like, oh God.
But then again, it's like that thing, you know, it's when you're a coach and you push a young athlete too hard, where does it, you know, so is Diddy, he's making this great music. Is the product worth the, you know?
Dave, you're in
the grooming of underage
weird.
People? No, probably not.
Do you know, I have only done this.
Yeah, yeah.
I've only been in this room twice, and both times you said something awful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But all I'm saying is, would you have got Dirty Pop? Because I don't think he grew
Are you going to defend him in court?
No. Would you have got.
You're a character witness? What's going on?
Johnny Cochran.
Would you get Pop Your Collar? I don't know. Would you get burned?
If the song's a hit, you must acquit. Sorry, it took me a long time to remember what he said there for a second.
But obviously, I'm broken.
So you're saying the great songs came out of that?
Yeah.
Right.
Quite literally.
That's one of them.
Could you just do me a favour and just blur his face for this whole thing? Yeah, yeah. Associate?
Yeah, we'll just say like a Sly Guy podcast host. Yeah.
No, but I'm of course joking. I don't know what Diddy did. But I mean, what's to say? Like,
what did he do or did he did it? Did he
did it? If Diddy, like, here's the thing. If Diddy and Usher are just having sex, that's sweet.
Yeah, but the thing is,
were they groomed to have sex? You know what I mean? Rather than just like, oh, I fancy Diddy.
So allegedly when Usher was like 13 or 14, he lived with Diddy for a summer.
Yes, you know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But then Michael did that as well. And Michael Jackson. And he didn't do anything apparently. He was just like playing games and all, PlayStation and stuff, or Super Nintendo.
What is this nonce defense? What's going on?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying,
let me tell you a thing about Shuffle, right?
Yeah.
No, well, he's a proven sex offender.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Jimmy sorted a lot of great trips for them kids.
He opened a few hospitals.
After American football.
You know what I mean?
But I was listening.
Would you have got the hospital open without it?
I was listening to a podcast today, actually, and it was about how to like run and stuff. And they're like, there's nothing better to raise money for charity than a marathon run. And I was like, Savile did a lot of that. And that's a problem because Savile's a bad.
Well, you now can't do that because after this conversation, if you start running marathons, I'm like, he's hiding something.
Yeah.
Dave, what are you doing in May?
I'm doing a marathon in May. I'm doing a leg of the Belfast marathon.
God.
Dressed as Diddy.
That's amazing. That's one of those things where you get cancelled for the wrong reason. Like, they'll be like, oh, he's a racist, get rid of him, but that's not the real reason you should be cancelled.
Davey, how are you finding marathon training, brother?
It's fine. I'm enjoying it. I'm feeling good.
So, how much of it are you running?
A leg. Which is what I'll have left.
But what is a leg?
I don't know.
It's like 4 miles, something like that.
4 miles, is it? Something like that.
Five.
Mine's 5 miles. Listen.
5 miles. That's,
what is 5 miles to a man?
I'm doing close to 5K because I haven't ran in about 10 years.
You're doing?
Yeah, yeah. I'm still quite early on, but I'm like, I did a run yesterday. You know where you jump up the week's the amount of continuous running, and every time the first run, I'm like, I'm going to die. Yeah. And there's children over there who will laugh at me if I die.
And then I'll be walking my dog the next day,
and then my dead body. So. In theory, by the end of this, you can run half an hour solid. So,
or
so if I do that, you're like a pervert, three times David a week, Goggins. That's the most exercise I've done since I was about fucking P3.
Yeah,
you know.
But for me, it's always been a mind thing. So I think just to tell myself, do it.
You get to pick your like motivational speaker. Apparently, you can get Sarah Millican. I don't know why anybody would want that, but no harm to her. But like, I don't want Sarah Millican telling me that I'm great.
Who do you have?
I have Steve Cram, who was a runner, but he just talks too fucking much.
He's right. Like,
you know, and then sometimes you go to stop because he talks to you and you think he's about to say, that's your, 5 minutes up. But then he goes, you're a quarter of the way there. You're doing brilliantly. Come on. And you're like, what?
I went to go for a run yesterday and went maybe a fifth of a mile and then stop and just walked home.
There's something about running. It looks like, oh, of course I can run. I can walk a long distance, so I'm sure we run a quarter of that.
If I'm in like a group, probably see most people, if I'm in a groove of it, I'm running maybe twice a week as well as doing like other sports and stuff and gym. But if I'm just doing running and I'm doing 2-3 a week and I've built up a few, I'm brilliant. If I have to stop for a trip or we go on family holidays, you're not really
having time to go run.
I'm so bad at that first run back at it. But I know in my head, if I can do this one, it's my...
That's not me. I had about 2 weeks where I didn't go for one.
Yeah.
And then I was bollocks. So I re-ran like the last one I'd done, if you know what I mean. So it was at the end of the week, just did one more of those. But it's that sort of, you're sitting and going, should I go out? Should I go to that scary park beside my dad's house where people probably get stabbed? Mm-hmm. You know? Maybe actually sweet release.
That make you run faster.
Well, if anything, I'm like, that's an incentive. Like, sweet release, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just let's get this over and done with.
Yeah.
What a dark note.
Yeah, but,
I'm all right, just to be clear.
Can I say something?
Uh-huh.
We've been best friends for 10 years more. You're very confident at the minute, and can I say can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
You are very attractive at the minute.
I think you're a handsome guy.
I think you are even maybe the most handsome you've ever been.
Oh, whoa. That's...
You have something about you. Your head looks fucking great. Your head looks great. The beard's back. Look at the way you're dressed. Thank you. The way you're carrying yourself. And you just...
I appreciate it.
Your pursuit of better for yourself at the minute is a very attractive quality.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I think you're coming in hot.
I have this theory as well that like everybody has like a year of their life where they're attractive. You know, even the ugliest person in the world will have a year of their life where you're like, they look really well.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm still waiting for mine, but any day now. But I'm like, I feel like Dave's in his hot guy era.
But
thank you.
But you being back at Stanton, you know, getting back in this. When I see someone being like, fuck, I'm just getting back into this, getting the work on. I love seeing that in someone that makes me connect with someone. I'm like, yes, Alan Irwin.
But yes, it's that thing of like, you know, like I said, I was knackered, but like I did the Sunflower on Sunday, had a great gig, and I was like, oh yeah, I actually really like this. This is why, yeah. You know, I'm not just a sociopath. Like,
but stand-up's very much, it is like, I suppose, running. And the more you do, and the more you're in it, in the groove, and the more you're comfortable.
Oh, it's like a
there,
muscle.
It's just fun.
But yeah. I get so frustrated, and I do that thing where I apply like my logic to other people, and if I see someone who's really good at stand-up, and then they walk away from it for a while, it like fucks me off for you, because I'm like, you know, we're not in anyone else's head, but like, I just want to hold people in stand up and be like, just keep gigging through whatever this is.
You just gotta
keep plugging
away. You know, it's because there's no end game. You know what I mean? There's no like, oh, I've done all that, so now I just can sit back. It's like, it's a grind. You just have to keep going, you know?
It says, what's your motivation for doing it? And again, I think for a lot of things, people always have goals and targets, and they're like, this is what I want to achieve, mm-hmm. whether it's through comedy or through fitness or whatever, and this is the target, but they don't go, what's the way to get there? And they don't mm-hmm. see the achievement is getting there.
And speaking of talk, I remember years ago, you and me wrote down, we went out for coffee or something, maybe like 10 years ago.
We're going to come up across like two losers here, aren't we?
We wrote down our like goals for the year, mm-hmm. for like the next year. And I look back on it now, and it was the most silly stuff.
Pedestrian stuff. You think, like, of course you're going
to...
Ridiculous?
I mean ridiculous, yes. Right? Stuff that I haven't done now in
right,
10
yeah.
years since. But I then very quick, like when people say, like, say I'm doing a podcast or an interview and people go, oh, do you set goals and that kind of thing? When I say no, sometimes people don't believe that. I really don't, because first of all, it's one of the most unpredictable industries you can ever be in. But if you're enjoying it and working hard, I don't know. Some people probably do need goals. I don't need goals. Mm. I just need to trust that if I'm working hard and enjoying it, I will... get
yeah,
to do
no, I totally
good
get
things
it.
Or something. Well, but like, I don't know, I just find the idea of goals don't work for me.
No, I booked a solo, I'm doing a solo show on the Sunflower on the 29th of September. Nice. So at the minute, that's like the next thing to work towards, but that's like just the start, that's like the start of another bit. That's not like you go, oh, I've done the show, you know, that's the start of then.
Are tickets for that out yet?
Not yet. No, they will be shortly, hopefully. Okay. As soon as I get the poster finished.
What's that called? The dead Man in the Rangers Club?
Grow Up.
Right. What's it called? That's a bit of...
Oh, wow. It's
a top tier banter there.
Yeah.
Grow Up, Grow. That's 29th September. That's like, then you come out of that with like loads of new material that you've worked on. Mm-hmm. And then that's just, you just go on to the next thing. It's not like you go, oh, well, done the show now.
Yeah,
so I'm
just
not doing anything for a year, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Davey boy, what do you got coming up?
I'm doing two nights in the Lyric on the 10th
Love
and
that.
11th
yeah,
of May.
You're Lyric to me. You're very Lyric to me.
Thank
Banger.
You. I'm really looking forward to it because the venue I've not played before. I was sort of trying to figure out what to do because I love my role play show and I felt like I did it in the Wall Garden. That was the first run of it. And like I want to still do that. Now I want to do a new show sort of around the turn, like summertime.
We have a thing where like you do something you feel like everyone's seen it now.
Yeah.
And you're like, they haven't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it's like I've done Lavery's probably 40 times and nobody knows who I am every time. And I'm like, that's a, actually a gift. You think that's an annoying, but you're like, oh yeah, you can just do your best stuff and people enjoy it, you know?
Last night, actually, in the terrace, a girl came up to me at the beginning and was like, oh, you're so hot, Denny. And
Did he?
no, she didn't really. She came up to me,
you're
like,
the white diddy.
White diddy sounds like something I would search on the internet.
Just one.
Just one white. And you one mean white, entirely white. Yeah. Like even the nipples white.
Like
porcelain white. like a geisha girl, but a boob.
John Rush's daughter could be a geisha.
That's Japan.
Well, fuck's I think sake. We figured out nobody knows where he's from, so he could be from Japan too. Who knows?
Jesus
he travels.
Christ.
I think we've got to wrap this up.
But and I was going to
say, for the sake of his life.
What was I saying there before I got caught off track?
Lyric.
The lyric. No, this girl at the beginning of the gig, she's like, oh, really enjoyed you last week in Antrim. And it made me go, oh no, I'm going to have to change my entire set now. Yes. So I'd made a few adjustments and it was like, it was all right. But it made me panic and have to think on my feet and go, oh no.
Yeah.
Because you think everyone's seen everything.
Well, when you got the date and the poster in like a couple of months' time, we'll come back on, promote it
great,
properly and all
you.
That sort of thing. Dave Elliott's Sly Guy podcast. You have two podcasts?
Stupid Sexy podcast, if you like The Simpsons, and The Worst There Was, if you like wrestling.
Okay.
Can I also just say, sorry, I'm doing the lyric, but I have a few other dates as well, but they're just not sort of announced yet. Doing the courthouse in Antrim on the 18th.
You'll certainly
well.
Be at a courthouse after some of the comments today. <someone.
laughs> Hey guys, listen, I was only joking, it's silliness.
Guys, thank you very much for coming on. I hope everybody enjoyed this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with Dave Elliott and Alan Irwin. I know I had a great time.
1, 2, 3.
Good afternoon.
See the West Link.
That is the horniest what? Thing I've ever heard.
Aw,
Marvin, bring daddy some of those chicken and waffles.
Mr. Potter.
I feel gushy.
This is unbelievable.
This is absolute chaos.
Sipper, God love you. If you've made it all the way through this episode, that means you love Tea With Me, you love this podcast, or it means like you've drifted off and you've just left this on play. Either way, what you need to do is head over to our Patreon. If you enjoy the podcast and you want more tea, that's where you go. We do a bonus episode called The Special Brew every Monday and a live stream podcast every Friday with some of your favorite comedians. You can chat, interact, ask questions. When we announce live podcasts, you get early access to tickets with a little bit of a discount on there. And there is so much more. You can go back and watch, I think, nearly $1,000 of content. Tea With Me Patreon, which is patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. The link is in the description. I'll see you there.